Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Jolene Loria, Controller of the U.S. Department of Justice. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Melinda Balthrop. So, Jolene, would you give us an overview of your top priorities and the strategic vision that frames the critical mission support function you perform? And perhaps you could identify or describe some of the key initiatives and strategies you're pursuing.
For me, and it's sort of an inside the government, finish what we started. I tell people that all the time. It's a key priority of mine because the government, or at least the domestic discretionary side of the budget, which is primarily all of the Department of Justice, it's an annual appropriation. But many of the things that we do cross a fiscal year, and they require staying power. And they require you to stay on the vision and to constantly justify what you're doing. And we have to finish what we started. So the unified financial system, and it's one of the key initiatives, it has already spanned more than 10 years. And the reason that it's spanned more than 10 years is because the department has 40 components and has had many financial systems that we've had to collapse into one. But it takes a long time to finish what you start. Now, it may not be finishing it every year the same way you started, but finish what you start. So that's one of my key priorities. We're getting ready to embark on the final frontier for the unified system. My staff knows it affectionately as Utopia, Unified, Topia, Utopia. Yeah. It's hard to do without the visual. We have the Starship Enterprise that we're getting on, and I tell now, and this is the more interesting part, the final frontier of Utopia means that the last legacy system was a system that the Justice Management Division developed. And so we have to give up our own system. So I constantly tell the staff that when they're getting on board the Starship, and once we take off, you have to be on the ship or we're going to leave you, you know, and we're going to be, you know, circling the atmosphere. So we're getting everybody on board the Starship to Utopia, and that's our final phase. And when we're there, you know, we're going to be in financial nirvana, as you can envision. The second priority is saving money in everything we have in every way we can. Because the government, obviously, I mentioned this earlier, the budget is challenging and it's ever decreasing. There's not a day that goes by that I don't look for efficiencies in the department. I'm the lead for the Attorney General Save Council. Okay. We saved hundreds of millions of dollars in small initiatives. Some of them were poked fun at about double-siding paper, but it saved millions of dollars. So you can make a joke about it, but then you can tally up all the dollars that we saved double-siding paper, and you'd say, oh my gosh, why didn't we do that before? To big things like, you know, consolidating contracts and that save hundreds of millions of dollars. So I think to date, just our Save Council, and that's just the things that we have been able to track and record, we've saved over $300 million on our own initiative. Doesn't get talked about a lot, but it's an ongoing mission priority. We have to save every penny that we have because we need to invest in the important missions that I talked about in the first part of this interview. We can't waste money on small things because there's big things and unfunded mandates that we may never receive an appropriation for. And then the third priority is asking for the right money in the right places and fighting for it until we get what we need. That's sort of the budget controller mission. It's so difficult to receive a budget and then execute it, but making sure it's in the right places and we have the resources applied where we need resources and we ask people to tighten their belts where they can tighten their belts, that's always a priority. For the Office of Controller, every year I have my directors identify and nominate priorities that we track throughout the year. And some of them I couldn't share on a public radio because they're things that we're doing internally, but they basically revolve around those things. You know, finish what we started, you know, save money in every area that we can, and then get money for the department's missions in the right places so that we can perform the missions.
On the topic of UFMS, I'd like to continue our discussion around your progress to date. What were some of the key implementation challenges you faced as a result, and how have you worked through them?
I was thinking about the unified system, and the folks that are on my team, we're such a strong team now because it's almost like going through the Tough Mudder If you can, if you can picture that, it's been messy from the day we started it until it's all of its successes today, and it's been messy because if you imagine seven legacy systems and systems that people in the Department of Justice designed, developed, implemented, and still work on, 20 years later. So you have to, we're implementing new technology, but we have to bring people along to give up their legacy systems and go to a place they've never been to before. So the challenge, that whole change management challenge of the unified system, it can't even be understated. But for those of us who've gotten in the mud, in the tough mud, and made it work, we are so strong now that it's become our success. Because now we feel that as we have implemented in each organization that has a different culture, different challenges, different infrastructure, now that we've gone through that tough mud, we feel like we can do anything that comes in front of us. So just that whole, challenge of the change management, but also the challenge of realizing that as we implement the unified system, every 18 months there's an upgrade. And I talked about this earlier. Your technology changes. You have to adapt to the technology. And, imagine that we never really received quite enough money from the beginning, and it's costing us more and more money as we go along the way. So being strategic on when we take the upgrades and when how we bring the customers along, and how we have to hold some people back from wanting the new changes and then incorporate the new changes to the newest customers. It's been a difficult project. So the size of the project and just the change management aspects and the way that we have to implement it over the years has been the difficult parts of implementation.
Jolene, I've heard many refer to UFMS as one of, if not the most successful financial management system implementation in the federal government. Would you elaborate on your keys to success and what best practices have you employed?
One of the main keys to success is our resiliency. We have to stay focused on the vision, talk about the value of the unified financial system throughout the implementation, and be resilient, be able to adapt to changes and change as we implement the program along the way. And one of the things that was difficult in the beginning, but not difficult at all today, was when we get into program implementation and we find that the implementation plan we used last year is not working this year, people aren't afraid to change it. And in the beginning of the implementation, everything was very rigid. We had to commit to an exact go-live date. That was disaster, because until you get into unraveling what exists in an organization and you then have to implement it and then go live, that date is going to change. But people were afraid to change the date. And in the first implementation, people were going to implement on that date no matter what, because that was a public commitment. So once we took that out of the equation, that we could be iterative in our development, obviously we have to stay within the budget and implement. But the fact that we could adjust our plans along the way and a little bit of relaxing that became our success. So one of the organizations was supposed to go live. Everyone wants to go live October 1. If we wanted to change it October 1 to October 15, we had to ask permission and we had to go, beg for forgiveness. But there are very good reasons to slip the date. When there are very good reasons to slip the date, it's not that you've been unsuccessful, it's that you're wiser in your implementation. And that whole evolution of you have to do things a very prescriptive way to being more iterative and resilient along the way, I think has been our secret to success. And I would be remiss, I don't like to talk about myself per se, but my staff would probably say that the executive focus and the executive leadership for the project and sustaining that throughout the project was key. And I know that they would attribute that to my strong commitment to the project. They would talk about how I never get off the train. I never get off the train. Even if we're at a station and everyone's getting off at that station, I'm still on the train. And that is important for the people that you're leading. But the other important aspect, if you realize that we've implemented this system across administrations, Republicans and Democrats, and through many attorneys general. And so that in and of itself, that leadership executive sponsor, no matter who's in the driver's seat, you know, in the ultimate driver's seat, has been critical to the project. Because every time there's a change, either in administration or the top leaders, the people that don't want to adopt the change look for ways to slow it down. Mm-hmm. And we have not slowed down our vision, our path, our reality. And it's why we're embarking on the final path to utopia. So I think you mentioned it was widely successful. And I have to say, I feel like we're a two-time Grammy Award winner. We had two Federal 100 awards, but also managers on the project have received awards for their specific aspects of the implementation. So we are wildly successful. It's hard for me to say. I don't like to talk about my personal success, but this project has had success not just for me, but for many people in the organization. And the early implementers who were difficult for us in the beginning because we were learning about the project now rave about the system that they fought against us to implement. Also, that, you know, just when you look at the scope of the system and the fact that we've been able to time and time again turn on a new financial system without losing our clean audit opinion, I think that's never been done in the federal government. So when you say wildly successful, I have to put that out there because people don't like to talk about how successful it is, but it is wildly successful.
Along with the process and technology changes, systems implementations can be marked by people challenges, as you discussed earlier. Let's explore the people side of the move to UFMS. How did you prepare the workforce for such a change, and what are you doing in the area of continuous improvement related to workforce change management issues?
Well, preparing the workforce has been difficult because in each organization that we implement this new system, they have to obtain new skills on a bubblegum and toothpicks kind of budget. You know, there's not a lot of money for training. So one of the things, one is that I stay interested and stay on the game and make sure the people that who are going to be implementing the system and the staff are ready for it, and they go out and get training and they participate in with the contractors on how to operate the system. So just staying in the game, putting them in the right situations to learn how to use the system is critically important. They have to implement a new system, but learn how to use it, and then teach other people how to use it. And it's that whole training aspect of using and learning a new system is how we've been able to keep our project successful.
So, Jolene, switching gears from financial management systems to financial operations, what are you doing to enhance financial operations within the department? What steps have been taken to better track and manage costs, such as cost of investigations, expand the use of financial data to inform management decisions?
So I had this big UFMS popping in my brain when I said that. That is the number one initiative that's going to help us manage our financial operations. Because I don't know if you can appreciate going from seven systems to one, but maybe I need to paint a picture about what seven systems as a controller means. It means that, you know, when somebody asks us, what's your current, you know, spending rate in the Department of Justice, I could never answer that question, because if you have seven systems that you have to track and independent components operate those systems, there was no one view to say, where are you at current state of operations? So UFMS, when we're all on the same system and we have a centralized way of reporting that information, is going to improve, not just improve answering questions, but allowing us to ask our own questions across the department to see where the money is being spent, how it's being spent, and just doing some data analytics. So that all by itself is going to improve financial operations, and it already has in many ways. The other thing that we've done, or that I lead, and I mentioned this earlier, is the Save Council. Yes. And creating the culture of savings. In 2009, the president asked federal agencies to come up with savings initiatives, and he challenged everyone to find different ways to achieve. They put a marker down. I think it was $100 million. At that time, we came up with 20 separate initiatives that we thought would materialize in the savings. Today, we have over 140 suggestions that have come in the door. People, in fact, just before I left for this interview, somebody called and says, is it too late to get my savings idea in for the next report out? And that's the kind of thing that I think it's not talked about. It's not seen outside of the agency, but creating that culture to save improves operations. Because we don't just save money. We look for ways to be more efficient across our organizations. And the third initiative that I'm leading personally is what we're calling affectionately the JMD, Justice Management Division Service Review. We operate a working capital fund where we deliver services, enterprise services, to the department's components. And some of them they sign up to willingly and some of them they sign up to unwillingly. But what has happened over time is that the services that we deliver, some of them are outdated, some of them are outmoded, some of them we can't really explain why we do it. We've always done it this way. And to be honest, we've never really peeled the onion back and looked at what the cost drivers of those services are. So we have now embarked on a review where we're looking bottom up at the Justice Management Division on our costs, so like an activity-based cost review, but we've done it to ourselves, and we have now laid the foundation to examine those costs and set our prices according to cost. And that, to me, when we're finished with that initiative, right now we've laid the foundation, identified the cost in a common and consistent way. Setting the prices for our customer is a whole nother aspect of it. But then asking why it costs so much is the more critical aspect. And so that whole service review, looking at ourselves, setting the dial so that we can now examine our costs and then justifying those costs in a transparent way is going to change the way we do business in the Department of Justice.
So now you've made tremendous strides in terms of getting all of your financial data into one system. What's next, and what other opportunities are there to increase financial management effectiveness and efficiencies that you're thinking about?
Well, in both of those changes, if you think about the unified system as well as the justice review, the internal review, we're trying to create a foundation so that we can collect up our financial information and then look at it and analyze it. We fall short of the data analytics. We fall short in where we'll create a spreadsheet, but we haven't asked the questions as why those particular items are on the spreadsheet. So we're telling our story, we're more transparent in our story, but we're not analyzing that story on our own. Other people outside of the Justice Department are pulling our data and creating stories and asking us back why it's like that. But we need to do it more internally, proactively on our own. And that's really where I'd like to get to as the controller, that we tell our story, we pull our own data analytics, and we connect the dots from a financial perspective so that we can change on our own, but using the data that we have created. One of the women that worked for me commented that we have so much data, but we don't use it in a way that advantages our operations, and we need to start using the data in more constructive ways.
How does the U.S. Department of Justice use collaboration and partnerships to achieve mission results? We will ask its controller, Jolene Loria, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.